On today's podcast, we interview first-time figure competitor Becky Baldiga. All right, Becky, well, thank you for joining us on this podcast today. We're excited to interview you and share some of your experience with our listeners. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Also, love your t-shirt. Super cool.
Felt like I had to represent.
I think we'll just kind of like go through this interview step by step, kind of like how we had outlined to give people like a little bit of history. We wanted to bring Becky onto our podcast because she exhibited some, I think, very mature qualities when approaching a bodybuilding prep, especially for a first-time competitor. And I also thought it would be helpful for people who might be thinking about competing in bodybuilding to kind of get a picture of what her experience was like, kind of her thought process, and then how her experience went, just to provide more information. I think the more you know, the more you can kind of evaluate and make those decisions for yourself. So NTC's here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here too.
Okay, so Becky, why don't you just get us started with a little bit of background, let the listeners know who you are, what you do for a living, your hobbies, like just a brief intro would be great.
Well, sure. So I'm Becky Baldiga. I have two little boys that are 4 and 6 now. So I'm a mama. I'm a college English instructor. So I work from home and I teach from this office, right? I got interested in bodybuilding, right? Because I'd been in the gym for a while and I like to have goals. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to stay on track and to progress through a program or to feel like I'm accomplishing something if I don't really have a goal in mind. And so I heard about you all actually from Ange, right? A girl that went to the gym in this area. And she had started with you guys and set a goal to compete. And it took me maybe about a year to decide that I was ready to do it, right? But yeah. I had talked to her off and on about you guys, and I watched her programming. I specifically remember how much time she was putting into mobility work and warm-up work in the beginning. And I said, and I was thinking to myself, well, that's probably something I should be doing. I probably need help. I probably need some guidance, right? And so that's how I ended up finding you guys.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like I probably should be doing mobility work is a sentence I hear a lot.
Yeah. Right.
All the time. Yep.
I should probably be doing that.
I should probably be more focused on staying healthy and not hurting myself, right?
Yeah, but that's great. I mean, that's where most of our clientele come from, is word of mouth, which is a huge compliment to us. So we're glad that you know, thought about it and then finally chose to get started. I do remember you saying it was like roughly a year. It took you a while to kind of evaluate and then jump in. So what made you like officially decide, you know, this is something I want to pursue. I want to give this a shot.
So I'd spent some time looking on Instagram at competitors, right? Mm-hmm. And absolutely fell into, oh, I can do that, right? As a general rule of thumb, I feel like I can do pretty much anything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Until I try and I say, oh my gosh, this is hard. And so I started looking through Instagram at competitors and I started really thinking, well, I want to look like that. What would it take, really? And kind of assessing what I looked like in the mirror, mm-hmm. and realizing quickly on, I was like, well, I don't look like that at all. Right. But it might be under there.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
So I spent a lot of time waffling with whether or not I could do it. Right. If
sure.
I could set this really hard goal, because I think early on I knew it was going to be hard. I don't think I knew how hard it was going to be, right? But I knew it wasn't going to be easy, and I wasn't sure if I had enough time.
Oh, okay.
I think that in general, we're pulled between being good at keeping your house in order, mm-hmm. being good for your kids, yeah. being good for your partner, being good at work. And you can really only pick two of those things at one time, mm-hmm. right? And you can add being good for yourself in there as well. And so you have to kind of figure out what you neglect, I think, and what you're okay with neglecting at any certain point in time. And so I just wasn't sure if there was enough of me to go around. And it took a little bit of time to convince myself that I could do it. I did have time. My kids are old enough now that it could be okay to start focusing on myself a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. Did you have like a support system or people that you talked to about, you know, like kind of getting their opinions on getting started, or is it something you just kind of kept to yourself?
A little bit of both, right? I learned pretty early on that everybody has an opinion about bodybuilding. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later, but it's not always positive. Yeah. And so I kind of started keeping it to myself. My educational background is in research, right? And so I kind of dove back into that. But I will say that it was a very open and constant conversation with my husband, who is probably the most supportive person in the entire world. And from day one said, babe, if you want to do this, just do it, right? It's already in your head. We both know that you're eventually going to get there and do it. So just do it. And that was Chris from day one, which is awesome. And so
her husband's name is Chris, not me.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Good point. My husband, Christopher, from day one, kind of knew that it was going to be something that I did, and yeah. really just pushed me to pull the trigger. Because once I start thinking about doing a thing, it's hard to get it out of my head. And very early, he just said, just do it. Just go.
Of course. I love that. Okay. So most of your exposure to bodybuilding prior to getting started was a friend from the gym, social media, and kind of like doing your investigative work on what is this sport. And you were obviously the appeal of like the look was like something that you wanted to kind of explore and see if that's something that you could transform for your own physique. I also remember we talked about different categories because you wanted to start bodybuilding, but we weren't sure which category to start you in. Because for listeners that don't know, there's bikini, there's wellness, there's figure, there's women's physique, women's bodybuilding. There's a lot of options for women in the sport.
And fitness.
And fitness, yes, which is a rare one. Anybody doing backflips, you have all my respect.
I remember you asking me if I could do a backflip.
Yes, I think we did. We talked about so many things. And like what federation you compete in, they name categories differently and they judge them differently. So, Becky, why don't you share kind of what your thoughts were on the categories and how we kind of landed on figure for you?
So I committed to being a bodybuilder before I knew really anything about it. So
a good thing.
I'm sorry.
It's a good thing.
Right. Right. So I went in there with a blind optimism. Yep. And I remember one of our first conversations being, well, how do you want to compete? But we kind of just assumed that it would be in bikini, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of rated that way. My first posing photos were sent in with bikini. And I'm going to say off the top that I think bikini competitors are strong and beautiful and wonderful, but I learned quickly that that is just not for me.
Yeah.
The posing didn't really connect with me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had a moment of panic there in the beginning where I said, oh my gosh, maybe I'm doing something that's actually not for me, right? Mm-hmm. And so you and I had a conversation about well, bikini's not the only category, Becky. Why are you like this right now? Calm down. Right? And so we kind of walked through all the different categories, and I landed on figure because as I was still Instagram creeping on people to kind of see what these physiques looked like, I took a step back and really thought about what what I wanted to walk around, like what body I wanted to walk around in, what I wanted to look like. And that was based on a conversation you and I had. I think verbatim, you said, well, what kind of physique do you want to walk through the world in, right? Mm-hmm. And so I took a few days and thought about it. And what I realized is that when I would think about what my perfect body looked like, it was always very muscular, right? Mm-hmm. I like a big upper body. I like some big old quads. And I said, well, let me see what matches that, right? And it took a lot of time digging through social media to see what a natural figure competitor looked like. And again, no shame in either one of those games, right? But it took a little while to figure out what would be realistic for me, right? Starting out. And so I landed on figure because I really like the top-bottom symmetry, right? I think that figure is just absolutely beautiful. I think it looks powerful. The posing connected with me. And honestly, it's what made me feel capable and more confident and beautiful. So that's how I landed on figure.
Yeah, that's great. Because most women start in bikini because that is technically the lowest amount of muscle, the least amount of muscle stepping on stage. So a lot of entry level, like first time competitors, they start going into bikini. And we did, we tried it out with you, but there was a disconnect. And I think we had very constructive conversations because it is about what you want out of the process. Like, you know, my job is to guide the goal, but there is definitely like empowerment in the athlete making some decisions about what they want. So like we kind of talk about on this podcast, it being a collaborative effort back and forth. I was very excited that you chose figure, and I remember you starting to practice those poses. And it like the evolution of it, like starting to come together, and it was like, okay, she's looking more and more like figure, more and more like figure. And you helped with, like lat flare cues, initially, cause that is a hard thing to teach and to execute.
Yeah.
And I know you practice a lot with that, Becky, cause you have to hold it up there. You have to have that endurance. You have to have that control. Which I felt like mobility work.
Yeah. Mobility work and learning scapular control, I think is integral for probably any division, right? I mean, like you have to be able to manipulate you have to be able to like position your body to be able to show it off the way you want to show it off. But then past that, like on a daily basis in the gym, we need to be able to work the muscles that we want to work in the way that we want to work them so that we can elicit the response and have the aesthetic outcome that we want to have. So,
and that's the other thing too, is we asked you too, what you like to train, or maybe you just shared it with me, but I remember you being emphatic about loving to train upper body. Mm-hmm. I love shoulders, back. And I was like, okay, this is like checking the boxes for a figure competitor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And,
well, and then we started doing some deadlifts.
Right. And as it turns out, it's lower body is great too.
Yeah.
Right. And so I will say though, that the posing for figure has made me a better, flat bench presser, right? It's a silly way to say that, but, and my incline bench has improved just exponentially now that I pay just an outrageous amount of attention to where my scapulas are at all times now.
Yeah.
So there are some trickle down benefits there.
Of course.
It all goes together. And I think taking that comprehensive view really allows you to be much more successful, at a much faster pace.
Yeah.
So many people like let stuff drop through the cracks, and it's just like, what, you know, you're in there doing the work anyway. Well, you might as well get all you can out of it. So.
I think there's just a lot of correlation. There's a lot of correlation between using your body in a pose and using it in the gym. And
having maximum like scapular protraction mobility allows you to not only pose better and get a wider lat spread, but also feel more confident in your bench press.
Yeah, because you have been saying lats are essential for bench press.
Yeah. Being able to use your lower lats is kind of contingent upon being able to release, you know, up above your scapula so that the bottom can be stabilized. So anyway.
I love bench press. I'm learning bench press.
I
Yeah, bench press, even for bikini. That's like, yeah, even for bikini, it's so important. My abs, Becky, were so sore the other day after benching because I was trying to get.
I imagine.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
bikini competitors have, I mean, upper body. Did you see the picture of Janelle that she just posted with those big old biceps? I need to shout her out because she's my team friend.
She's amazing. Right?
Let me go back and say, I in no way, shape, or form think that bikini competitors aren't muscular. I just want to be muscular differently.
Yeah,
of course. Well, it's a different shape, but we like all of our competitors to be strong. So our bikini girls are getting really strong.
Yeah.
Okay, this is great. So let's see. Oh, your timeline, Becky. Because I remember us talking about this too when we first started getting, we're working together. I wanted to know your expectation on how quickly do you, you know, expect this physique to happen? And what's your show timeline? Because all of those things are important in kind of like managing a schedule. So did it change for you? Like, tell us kind of your thoughts on the.
So I started with you guys in September of 2023.
Yes.
Yes. And my expectations were unrealistic. Let's just say that off the top, right? I figured I would look exactly like all of those figure pros going to the Olympia by April. And if I didn't, then I was failing. And so obviously that was ridiculous, right? And so, but I didn't know what I was getting into. Yeah. And I think right around January time, I realized, and I had dug through just an insane amount of research, right? Mm-hmm. Poor TC gets all of this stuff from me. And like, here's this medical journal. Is this accurate? What do you think? thank you, PubMed, for feeding my anxieties. And so, right around January time, I realized, oh, well, you might have done it again, Beck, and really overestimated your abilities here. You may have really underestimated what the human body can do in 4 months. And so, while we were going to compete in April, or at least that's what I had in my head, what we ended up doing was competing
recording in progress
in July. we moved back from April to the end of July, and yes. I remember how hard that was. I'm incredibly type A. And that was a really hard let go, because come April, things were starting to get hard, right? And so the idea of pushing that prep forward felt like we were moving the goalpost into some really much harder, let's really elongate how long you feel like this kind of territory.
Sure.
But it was absolutely the right thing to do. And I think that once I realized why we were doing it, you guys have been just incredible about answering about 15 questions rapid fire at a time every week, right? And so once I realized that we were doing this for my health, right, and because it just doesn't make sense to why get up on stage when you're not ready, right? Why put yourself through something that might not feel good, you know? And once I was able to wrap my head around the why and why we would move this, it was fine, right? By the time we hit July, arguably we could have gone another month, but I just couldn't. It was time.
I think it for first time competitors, there's a lot of decision making when it comes to like just developing this new lifestyle and developing this or establishing this goal. So, and I think that it being a competitor myself, I have learned to be flexible with dates because our environment is like one factor that plays a role in what's happening. Our physique does what it wants sometimes, especially as females, we have more ebbs and flows with like hormone fluctuations. And having more flexibility with my own mindset has created a more enjoyable experience. But I do think that's something that is learned. Like I remember hiring my coach the first time. I'm like, all right, I got 12 weeks. Let's go. That's what I was committed to. And again, like, we did, you know, reassess and adjust your show dates, but we're also like looking at how you were going through this process. Like, how lean were we getting? How was your energy? What was happening with the rest of your life? I feel like you learned a lot about like your summers and balancing a prep in a summer. So, I think like for new competitors, like talk with your coach. I don't think like gas pedal down 100% of the time is necessarily the right way to go. I think you come out of a prep and a show with like negative experiences because you're now like run into the ground. Your body hasn't had, you know, adequate food for a period of time. Just like, don't be married to a show date, but like you did, Becky, like communicate with your coach when you're like, I'm kind of reaching the end of my rope here. Like, I don't know how much longer I could diet. Cause I do the same thing. Like, there is a threshold where you're like, I am done with this phase. I am ready to move on. And I think that's completely okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there came a moment where I had set all of these expectations. I said, there's an end date here, and it is July 27th, 2024.
Yeah.
Approximately 3 p.m. Right? And I said, I was thinking about, in the few weeks before this show, I was thinking, well, is now the time? Do I have more in me? And I realized that I had just set just so much on that day that I said, I don't think I can. I think that at this point, that's it. That's the end date. That's all I have in me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did a great job. You like hit that finish line. And it was a fun experience. We got to be there to see her compete. Yeah.
I think another thing about timelines is, especially for first-time competitors, something very important to remember is sometimes these first-time competitors are out there trying to bring like an Olympia-level physique to the stage, and your body's just not going to respond like that well if it's not used to being lean, right?
Yes,
your body has to get used to different stages of like body fat, and that's why we have to reverse you out, and then you start your maintenance period, and that's when we start to really start like build some muscle, because your body has reacclimated to that body fat percentage, and it knows now that we are in a muscle building phase. I think that's something else it's important, and not even just for first time competitors, but a lot of competitors will compete multiple times throughout the year because each subsequent peak is better than the last.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's because you learned something from the last peak or just because your body's getting a little more comfortable at that lower body fat percentage, I just think that's really powerful to know that, you know, different like peaking cycles and different competition paths will elicit different results.
Yeah.
So, which I don't know if you're about to ask about her show plan going forward.
No, I wasn't. Do you want to ask?
Oh, yeah, sure. So after you set your July 27th date as your end date, and then you already had kind of a plan as to what you want to do after. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So in my head, I knew that I hadn't really ever taken the time to build. I never had any structured time to build into figure, right? What we did was kind of take what I'd done. We lost 45 pounds, which was great.
Yes.
We found out that under that, there was a figure competitor, yes. Right? And that now we would need a lot of time to put muscle mass on. If there's a conversation that I feel like I've backed TC into more than anything, it is, how much muscle do you think I can put on and how long will it take? Here's this article I found. Can you please tell me that this is absolutely me and I will have this amount of muscles. And so for that, sorry. But also from that research, right, what I found is I can, if I am absolutely killing it, I can probably expect maybe 2-3 pounds of muscle a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, right, depending if the stars and planets align, right? Mm-hmm. And so thinking through that, I said, well, then I'm probably going to need some time, right?
Yeah.
And so I think what I had said right after the show is let's look at 2026, right?
Yeah.
And probably spring of 2026, because I don't think I can do a summer show again.
Yeah.
One of the things that I would do differently, and I might be skipping ahead, I'm sorry, but
no, you're good.
One of the things that I would do differently is reserve my summers for my kids, right? That's when they're out of school. That's, I was so focused and so, kind of in my own little world with this over the summer that I started feeling really, really guilty about the time that my kids didn't have with me.
Right.
And so when I was planning for the future, I really wanted to keep that in mind because, while I absolutely love this sport, I really love my little boys.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So my goal would be 2026 in the spring. And if I'm not ready or if I just don't feel like I've done enough, then maybe it would be later than that. We'll see.
Sure.
Because what I've learned is that I can't be as controlling. I can't control what happens, right? I just was traveling, I was sick, so I had 2 weeks where I wasn't able to do very much, and that doesn't seem like a lot, but it feels like a lot. And so we'll see what we'll see, right? But I think maybe spring of 2026.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I think that's good, like having a flexible mindset. Like you have a figure physique, but more mass. I mean, it is bodybuilding. Everyone is needing more mass pretty like.
Well, and that's the trick, is like getting people to understand how long it takes, whether you're an assisted athlete or not. I mean, even when you're an assisted athlete, it still takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot more time than a lot of competitors want to admit to. And it sucks. Look, I promise it takes a lot of time for everyone. Okay. You know, so, but it being honest and being able to be honest with yourself about your expectations, I think it actually sets you up for much better progression in the long run, because you're not anxious or stressed out about how much muscle mass. You're patient. And I think when you're patient and you're able to remove that stress from your training, I think that you're actually going to end up building muscle faster than if you're trying to rush the process.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because that dieting phase is like not great for putting muscle mass on.
Especially for females. Yeah.
It, if anything, sometimes, like I know I lose muscle mass in a dieting phase. I have to be like super intentional. So I think that, yeah, giving yourself that block of time that's like more than a year of just being in a building phase, there's no deficit in that time frame. You came from your show, you went to maintenance, now we're in this building phase all the way through next year. Honestly, it's, I like that. It's a lot of fun.
What you're doing.
Yeah, I love it. I like being able to train hard and eat and enjoy life. And, because it does, like you said, Becky, it takes a lot of focus to, like, pull that trigger. I'm going to commit to this. It takes a lot of energy and focus, and we're human beings too, so we need to find the balance of accomplishing all the things.
Yeah, and look, if you just love competing and you're a competitor out there who's just trying to bring in a little better conditioning, go for it. You know, compete every year if you want to. That's perfectly fine. Just like I said, it's just about tempering expectations, which I think you've done a really good job at doing. Just like being honest with us and with yourself about how much muscle mass we can put on, about like what your expectations were stepping on stage for the first time. So, yeah, I think you did a great job there.
Well, thank you.
So are there things that you learned specifically about your training, like working with TC, going through like a training regiment? Anything specific that you would share or complain about him?
well, we'll get to complaints second, but I think no. So, kind of like I mentioned at the beginning, I watched Ange doing a lot of warm up and mobility work before getting to the meat of the workout. And so one of the things that was different from TC's training from what I was doing is that I found myself spending maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes if I needed it, just kind of really focusing on what feels good, what doesn't feel good, and learning how to figure out what I can expect of my body in a workout based on that warm up, right? Which was something I've never really slowed down enough. I think you guys know me well enough now to know that I move at a very fast pace. I vibrate at a very high frequency, if you will. And so that slowing down and really taking moments to be in tune with my body became a really deeply important part of my day. where I could check in with myself. It became a really important part of prep for me. It was kind of touching base with my musculature and what hurts, what feels good. Okay, guys, today we're doing this. What can we expect, right? And taking that moment to like really commune with like your body. It was wild.
Yeah.
And so that absolutely changed the way that I approached my workouts, right? Because I kind of knew what I could expect and I could see the differences in slowing down, right? I wasn't nearly as sore. Things didn't hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And so what I found was being intentional. And if my dad ever listens to this, he's going to say, I told you so. being intentional in slowing down, as it turns out, is the right way to work out.
Good job, Dad.
Right. But yeah, so I found a new ability to really put the work where the work is supposed to go, and a new way to tell if there were other muscle groups taking over, especially in my shoulders. I learned that my traps try to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I also learned that my scapulas are completely different. It's like they belong on two different people. But I think what we figured out is my left arm is my baby holder. Mm-hmm. And so that scapula behaves completely differently than my right scapula. And so we were working on posing and putting movements in place in the gym to try to connect those two things. And so when I started slowing down and listening, things really started falling into place.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's something that a lot of people underestimate. And like, I know that I struggled with that first going into the gym. I just want to move all the weight and do all the things and yeah. Don't waste my time with the warm up thing. But you're right, Becky, the more that we've established that connection, the more return on your investment, as TC says, on your workouts happen. So
yeah.
Anything you want to add to the workout thing that you worked on with Becky or anything that stood out to you? How does she do a good job?
Probably by checking in and asking questions.
Yeah.
Saying like, is this how this is supposed to feel? Like I think in the very beginning you sent me a bunch of videos with the mobility stuff, but then once you kind of found the ball, so to speak, once you kind of picked that up and were able to communicate a little better with your own body, you didn't need to look to me as much, which is at the end of the day, that's what my goal is, right? Is my goal. And that's what I tell all my athletes is yes, send me all the videos, but for your rest periods, what I want you doing is watching that video that you just recorded. So you can either look at your movement pattern and see if you're bracing your torso properly or seeing if your movement is coming from your traps instead of your lats. Or you can look back at a top set for your compound lifts and see how fast the weight moved to see if you're going to be able to go up again or not, right? Like that's so useful. It's especially in prep where everything feels heavy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you go back and watch the video and you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad. I have to add some weight to that, which like, on one hand, it kind of sucks because you're like, ah, shit. But it keeps you pushing and it keeps you growing and keeps that progressive overload pattern going. And because you have those multiple avenues of feedback, our emotions, says to Chris all the time, our emotions lie to us. They will tell you that you are feeling a certain way in the world. Reality is this certain way, and it is completely not. And it's just like one of my favorite sayings is we suffer more in imagination than in reality. And I think that that's a very important thing to remind yourself of, especially when you're going through a prep, because prep sucks. I mean, there's no way around it. Like the only saving grace is you get to look in the mirror and you see new lines, you know? So when you're making progress, it's kind of okay. And then once you see the scale stop moving, now your life sucks again. So prep is hard. It's very mentally demanding. But yeah, I kind of went off on a tangent there. So
I'll just kind of
hand it back to you.
Well, that's great. I have all the questions. And also, if you hear a bunch of crunching in the background, we just have a dog chewing on a bone. That's super close to the microphone. Becky, you touched on just briefly some struggles with your struggles and tips with managing your family and managing cardio and managing all the prep tasks. Do you have any tips for people that you would recommend that kind of helped you, you know, implement or get through your prep a little bit easier?
I'm the type of person that needs to always be moving and doing something, right? I like to be busy. And so it took a little while to figure out what busy looks like in different moments in prep, right? There was a moment when we were building my kids a tree fort off the shed. So doing major construction projects in prep. And after that project, I said to my husband, I don't think I can do that anymore. And so trying to find ways to stay busy, right? Because I think a lot of what my husband and I had been doing for dates involved like eating and drinking, right? And then what we would do on the weekends involved not always major construction. I'm not trying to say that, but we like to stay busy and we like to move around and we like to do things. And I found that increasingly, I wasn't able to do that anymore. I wasn't able to keep up. And if I was keeping up, I wasn't being very nice about it. Mm. And so I think if you are the type of person that can't sit down comfortably, right? Because that's when you start getting in your head. And as TC said, you know, your mind's going to tell you that everything is bad, right? But the more you move and the more you do something and you distract yourself, well, now things aren't that bad, right? And so staying busy went from building forts, jumping on the trampoline, doing things, running around with the kids, turned into snuggling, watching Disney movies on the couch more often, right? And just being okay with screen time for a little bit. And then at night, instead of my husband and I being out in the garden or doing something in the yard, well, we got really deeply invested in playing Fallout again, right? Oh. And so still busy, still keeping myself distracted, right? But in different ways. So trying to figure out what I'm capable of doing in that moment was really, really important. But I will also say that, and we talked about this just a few days ago, tracking food became really, really important. Not just like not stressful important, but as kind of like a check mark through the day. What I ended up putting in place is I would meal prep in the app, right? I used MyFitnessPal, and I would meal prep the night before. And then I was able to know what it was that I was going to eat the next day, but none of it was prepared. I do not like meal prepping. That is not something that I'm good at. It's not something I want to get good at, to be fair.
Yes.
And so I like to have an idea, right? But I, walking through the day, I really need milestones, right? And so this is when we make breakfast. This is when you make this. This is when you make this. And so cooking my food, and I'm fortunate to have time to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know that this wouldn't work for everybody. But knowing what I was going to make, but not making it the night before. And so taking that time to make it, sitting down to eat it, making my next meal, sitting down to eat it, and really kind of making a strict regimen through the day that way was a big deal. But the other thing that was really helpful was knowing that I was going to have to send pictures in on Sunday. And that if I didn't do anything through that week, you would know. And it's not, right? And so, and it's not like you'd be upset with me or mad about it, but knowing that I had that check-in, then started really dividing my days up with meal prep, my weeks up with that check-in, and then it starts over on the following Monday, mm-hmm. right? And so you kind of just create a really structured, really rigid way you walk through your day. And that is what became really, really helpful. I even did my cardio in the evenings, right? Because list cardio, it becomes a slog.
Yes, right? It does.
It does feel like crawling across the hot desert at the end.
That's a perfect description.
Right? But if you think about how long you're actually in prep, the amount of time that you're in the desert, isn't that long in hindsight, right? And so I would do my cardio, half of it in the gym after a workout, half of it at home, just to have a little bit of like clear my head time.
Yeah.
I got deeply invested in a show called Alone, which is a survivalist show, right? Just a bunch, like, they just put 10 people in the wilderness.
She was broadcasting.
Who are also very, what?
You were broadcasting. You were wanting to be there alone in the wilderness. You wanted to leave it all behind.
It was the perfect prep show because it was 10 people who are also very hungry and doing very hard things, but in a place and in a way where they could tap out at any time. And me too. Right?
Yeah.
And so watching these people be very upset about not catching fish because... And then I'm on this bike just pedaling away and both of us can tap out at any time, but we're not doing it.
You're like, haha, loser. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, I'm gonna catch a fish. Right. And so I got really deeply invested in survivalist shows. Which whatever. I mean, I feel like prep brain is fine. It's fine. It worked.
Look, everyone has to find that thing that's gonna help them get through, you know? Like I think for me it was Andrew Huberman. I watched the Huberman podcast when I was doing my mobility stuff. So
I always tell people pick a show that you can only watch when you're doing cardio. Yeah, like you're not allowed to watch it on the couch any other time. It's your cardio show. So it makes it more, it has a more of an appeal.
You almost look forward.
You're like, oh, okay, but I do want to catch up.
Right? Because you can only watch but so much Love Island, and then you move on to the show. And so, but the other thing I had to do is I had to really be careful about what music I was listening to in the gym also, because I was really sensitive, right? You're hungry, you're tired, you're sensitive, and I had to, normally I listen to metal in the gym, and I ended up having to kind of, I realized that was making, not putting my brain in a good space. Normally that's a great thing to listen to, you know, pull the weight up. But when you're already feeling very sensitive and you're already telling yourself that you're miserable, having that just screaming in the background, I realized, not so great. Yeah. And so I tried listening to like pop music, and that didn't really work. And so I ended up listening to classical music, which might be a little like American Psycho, but it really worked because it was just kind of in the background and it wasn't angry. It wasn't sad. It just kind of existed and was noise. And so being really mindful of what I can control about my own headspace became really, really important. Right. And so, yeah. So all of those things.
Good.
We've done something similar where, you know, I'll use like either Grizz or Nightmares on Wax or some kind of like, not EDM, like party EDM, but like kind of just like background theme music, kind of like video, almost video game music type stuff. It's so like you're in the gym, there's no words, like get you all riled up or anything. But yeah, you can just kind of zone out and do your reps. And
Yeah. I tried the soundtrack to Doom, but that was still too angry.
Yeah. It's the thing, like your diet is everything that you consume, not just the food. And I think a lot of people don't realize that like, yes, your food that you ingest can make you feel a certain way. If you eat a bunch of junk food, you're going to feel like shit the next day. But same thing with music, you know, if you're already in a negative headspace and just like you said, you're listening to angrier music, then like, the rest of your day is probably going to be pretty tough. It's going to be pretty tough. Yeah.
I do feel like the days that I go into the gym and I just feel more emotionally triggered. Mm-hmm. I have to be careful about what I listen to. I mean, music's pretty powerful.
I'll put Santana on or something. So like recently I haven't, like I'll put NF on and I'm like, oh man, like relax. So I'll have to change it.
Coming in too strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to say we're back on track. We're back to rage lifting. Right. But I mean, yeah, it was, I mean, and being careful, even with my kids became really important, where I started writing really positive messages on the mirrors and the windows in the house, which again, sounds crazy. But on my mirror, I wrote things like, you can do hard things, or keep going, or this week better than last week, things like that, right? And I always try to write, you know, little messages on my kids' windows when they're not looking, so they're surprised, like, you know? And so I would write things on their windows too, right, with little chalk markers and stuff. And so I'd put little like positive affirmations around the house, right, because the longer that I'd sit down, the more I had time to focus on just how tired, right? Mm-hmm. Over anything, over more than anything, just how tired I was. And also reminding myself throughout the day that my goal is to be kind and to love my family and to be a positive force in my children's life, right?
Yeah.
And that's a decision, right? Oh. That is a decision on a good day, you know? Parenting is hard when you're not in prep, you know? And so
yeah.
Reminding myself when I felt very, very sensitive to the screaming and the arguing and yeah. just parenting in general, that even though things are hard for me, that's just a me thing. Nobody yeah. else feels this way. So the way that I act to my husband, Christopher, and to my children, might make sense to me, but to everybody outside of myself, it's coming out of nowhere, right? Because
right.
it's not how they're used to me being. So trying to be very, very cognizant of that, was something that I put in place, and I'm happy that it's stayed, right? That it is, that has made me much more mindful in the way that I interact, prep has, with my husband, my kids, and the people that I love around me, is that I have kind of a new respect for, nobody's in your head, right? And so if you react out of character, that's going to be out of nowhere and kind of shocking.
Well, and also too, I think like going through the experience the first time as a first time competitor, it's a lot. It can be very overwhelming. And so you're navigating a lot of stuff on your own, but so is your family. Like they're going through this process with you. And so if we're miserable and we're complaining, like I'm guilty of that. Like I'll just be it. When I first started competing, I was just miserable. I wanted to do this, but from the outside looking in, you're like, why are you choosing this? Like, you're so grumpy all the time. You're hungry. Like, you're nasty with people. Like, so I think that it takes a lot of self-control to just kind of like look outside what, you know, quiet suffering you're doing while you're in prep, trying to get that body fat off and being respectful of your family. And that will not make them resistant to the next time you want to do a prep. They're not like, oh, mom's going to be like miserable again. Like
batten down the hatches. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And to be clear, I didn't always get it right. I don't sure. want
yeah.
that. We don't.
I don't want to make that seem like I nailed it, because I sure didn't. but I did my best, and I'm proud. I'm proud of how I did, right? Without knowing truly what I was getting into. And mm-hmm. I think that with each prep, I'll be better, right? Oh, yeah.
It'll always be hard.
Yeah, and those two things are what's integral to being better, right? Is like understanding that we have this issue, and that like when we're in prep and we're hungry, people get hangry whether you think you're hangry or not. Oh, and you're like, no, it's not me. It's blah, blah, blah. And then you like take a few minutes and you're looking back and you're like, okay, well, I probably didn't need to get that upset about that, you know?
Right.
And then the fact that, you know, you're trying, but you understand that you were not perfect, because there are people out right. there who say, well, yeah, I get hangry, but because I'm paying attention to it, I'm not doing anything wrong, you know? And I feel like we're all guilty of that, you
right.
know, at one point or another. So I think those two things are integral to a successful, not just a successful prep for the athlete, but also to have a successful prep in terms of maintaining, that's not the word I want, but maintaining the support of your family, mm-hmm. right? You know,
yes.
Retaining, that's what
retaining.
I mean. Yeah. But anyway, it's very important to have a solid support group. Like, I know you've dealt with athletes who have not had supportive partners.
Oh, it breaks my heart.
And it's just so, and not only is it stressful for the athlete and that household, but it's also stressful for the coach too, because every single week that athlete is bringing back stuff for the coach to deal with and to figure out, okay, now I'm running into this problem because of such and such, and now I'm running into this problem, now I'm running into this problem. So it is really and truly a blessing. So I'm glad that you said that right at the gate, to have that support. And man, I'm not going to say you can't do a prep without the support of your partner, but
it's much harder.
Yeah. Figure out how you can compromise to have the support of your partner. Say, yeah. Find your boundaries, like talk it through. I just like communication is key. It's so integral, and people just don't communicate enough, and they don't communicate well, and they don't communicate enough. So it always like ends up making bad blood. So just if you're out there thinking about a prep, talk to your partners. And find out what their non-negotiables are. Find out what your non-negotiables are. Do your research like Becky's done about like what the prep is going to take, so that you can discuss that with your partner. But just make sure that you're going into it on the same page, even though, like you're saying now, there's so much that you we're not expecting. And I can guarantee you prep will be harder than all you people out there who have not prepped. I guarantee you prep is harder than you're expecting. If you want to step on stage like the bodybuilders that you see on social media. You know what I mean? Like, you can step on stage looking like a pretty slim American person relatively easily. But stepping on stage looking like a bodybuilder, that's next tier.
It's a challenge, yeah.
That's next level.
Next level. Write that down. Becky.
Type on the podcast.
How about any type of negativity? Did you run into, because we talked about support, was there, even if it's not from an outside source, it was something with internal, like how did you navigate anything like that in your first prep?
So I've been excited to share this because I don't know if I've told you this yet, but I had a doctor's appointment mid prep and I told the nurse, she said, you know, you've lost a lot of weight. Is everything okay? And I said, yeah, actually it's going pretty great. I picked up bodybuilding. I'm in prep. And she's like, bodybuilding? Ew, gross. And I went, oh, okay. And then she said, but you don't look gross. And I said, oh, well, you don't either. And I was very proud of myself in that moment because I was hungry and I was mad and I not always thinking clearly, right? And so I like to consider myself a witty person. And in my head, I was like, nailed it, Becky, you got her. So anyways, in terms of negativity, one of the things that I learned and pretty quickly is that bodybuilding is a sport that a lot of people have opinions on that don't really know anything about it. And I was guilty of it myself too, right? Because before I really started looking into the sport, I don't know that I really felt that positively about it either. I know I wasn't, you know, on the ew gross side,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I always kind of, as an outsider looking in, said, wow, that seems really extreme, right? Because what I was exposed to more than anything are, you know, huge built dudes covered in veins. And I was just like, well, that seems extreme and maybe not healthy. And so, and then I'd move on with my day. And that's the most that I had really thought about this sport. And so when I decided that I was going to really just jump headfirst into this, what I found is that the people I would tell would say, be careful, right? Or, don't get crazy with it was the general consensus. And I was like, well, I don't know what that means anyway. So thanks for that. what do you mean? Don't get crazy with it. But what I found too is, and especially in the people that I typically rely on for support, right? There was, kind of the same kind of feeling where this feels extreme,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But with an added layer of, oh, you're going to get up on stage in literally the smallest, sparkliest bathing suit and heels? Okay, right? And so while I could rely on my core group for support, right? There was always this kind of, she's doing this, right? Kind of this like, can you believe it, right? And I, was very sensitive all through prep and I didn't always react very well to that. Right. Because, I was really needing in a lot of times, just unwavering, you've got this.
Sure.
And that's hard to get, I think, from even people that are that back you 100%, right? Because from the outside looking in, and I think we've had this conversation before because I put a lot of thought into this. We are living in a really body positive moment, right? And I think that's fantastic. I think that's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
And that puts bodybuilding kind of at odds with with that a little bit, right?
Sure.
Where we're saying, I love my body, but I also want to change it in
Yeah.
these ways that might feel very vain, might feel very showy. And you are getting on stage in the very sparkly bathing suit and in 4-inch plastic heels, you know? So it seems really showy and sexual too, right?
Yeah, sure.
So there's a lot of components to bodybuilding that, without really understanding the sport, are at odds with this movement we're in, this wonderful movement that we're in, but also make it seem kind of like you're doing something counterculture,
sure.
right? Where, yes, I love my body. I want to look like this, and it's going to sparkle. There will be heels. You will see my butt, right? And so I think that...
You will see my butt.
Right? Because Chris Nicole's passing out glutes. And so... So I think that that part of bodybuilding is what people have a hard time coming to terms with. And I would be a liar if I said that I was immediately comfortable with it myself.
Sure.
Right? But I put the time in to really understand why these things were happening. And in fact, what helped me kind of figure that out and explain it to my support group is the way I explained bodybuilding and what I was doing to my children. Right. They said, I said, I'm building these muscles. And I'm in a sport where everybody else is building the same muscles. And we get on stage and somebody tells us, and the judge says, you've built those muscles the best, right?
Yes.
So that's how I explained it to my children. And so when I turned around and kind of said to the people I was really looking for unwavering support from, I said the same thing pretty much. And I said, and if you can't see those muscles, what are you even doing? Right? I'm not going to build these muscles and put on a t-shirt,
yeah.
right? And if I've got to wear a bathing suit, why wouldn't I sparkle, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and if you need to see glute hamstring tie-ins, why wouldn't I wear heels to kind of raise that and help myself out a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, guys. I'm building these muscles. I'm going to show them off. I look fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And so with that kind of explanation, things... the people that were kind of like, ew,
yeah.
a little bit, understood a little bit better, but it does feel like this extreme thing still,
yes.
right? You know what I mean? And so, and even in hindsight, you guys were there. I feel like I did okay, but I also blacked out on stage for like half of it. I just panicked. And it is what it is.
You couldn't tell by watching her. You couldn't tell. I'm like, oh, she's doing great. She's hitting the slot layer.
Right into myself and just went right into like robotic. This is what I've practiced mode. And so in hindsight, even there's a little bit of me that goes, I can't believe you did that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of bit of me that's like, I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah.
And, so I think all of that to say that I think that most of the people that I've met have a relatively negative view of the sport, even if they're not out there saying, ew, gross,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
But that comes from not really understanding the sport or why any of these things are happening. And I think once I figured that out, I said, oh, okay. I don't understand a lot of what other people are doing. And I probably have accidentally reacted the same way in the past too. So
sure.
I kind of realized I was being very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably what's happening. But I also know now when I do go into prep again, I'm better prepared to lean on people who were unwavering in their support, if
sure.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know better where those resources are, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's important. And it is an odd sport. It is an
odd. Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
looking in, especially if you've never experienced it yourself, it is very strange. The tan. And just so listeners know, like Becky doesn't wear makeup or heels. So it was a big shift, you know? But
I think that's one of the beneficial aspects of bodybuilding, though. And it's something that, like you said, people who have never done it before don't necessarily understand. Look, yes, the big guys that are on the Olympia stage, the top 20 men's open class bodybuilders in the world. They're enormous and they're going to have heart problems and they'll probably get a heart attack and die young.
Well, not all of them. We don't.
No, not all of them. But what I'm saying is, yes, that level of muscularity is just as unhealthy as any other kind of obesity. Now, having said that, for the vast majority of the population, going through a bodybuilding prep can be very healthy. And if it's utilized the way you did it, right, which is becoming more mindful of yourself and how you treat other people, becoming more intentional with your body and your movement patterns. I think that, and then putting yourself in uncomfortable situations that you wouldn't necessarily do on a daily basis. And then building the mental fortitude that it takes to get all the way through a prep and do your cardio, even when you don't want to do it, and not eat that snack food, even when you had a really shitty day. I think there are so many positive, like potential positive aspects of bodybuilding that people who do take it too far give it a bad name. And then that's the only thing that people think about. I also think it's very interesting that, like you were mentioning with the body positivity, a lot of the people giving the pushback on bodybuilding are advocates of body positivity. So it's basically body positivity as long as I agree with it, but not as long as it's not something that I don't want to do. So I have always thought that was very interesting too, because like your doctor, like you lost a bunch of weight, you said halfway through your prep. So let's just say that you only lost like 20, 25 pounds at that point. You were probably at a very healthy body fat. She should have been saying, "Hey, great job. What are you doing? This is awesome." But instead she was like turning your nose up. So that's just my commentary on Western medicine. So we'll just move past that now and I'll hand the microphone
back.
That's
a soapbox that neither one of us need to hop onto.
Exactly.
But I think you make a really good point, because I think that if all you see is extremes, mm-hmm. then you feel like the entire sport is extremes. And correct. I'm not here to name the people that take it to extremes, because it doesn't impact me. Do what you got to do.
Exactly.
That's how you want to live your life. Enjoy. No big deal. I think though that, I think it's such a, it's outside of so many comfort zones, this mm-hmm. whole process, right? I would argue though, just like you said, prep is probably the best thing I've ever done for myself, right? Walking out of prep, I understand my body in a way that I've never understood before. I've had the opportunity to eat foods that make me feel like shit and figure out what they are.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
I've also had the opportunity to experiment with foods to see what makes me feel really good, right? I have a healthier connection with my food now than I ever have, right? Now, I've moved away from tracking, right? Out, you know, in view of my children, because they have to develop their own relationship with food, and I don't want them to always see me in my phone and doing food math. We've talked about that, right? And so because I was very, very mindful of understanding what foods make me feel good, what helped me through the gym, right? Because I did also learn to look back at those videos and say, wow, God damn it, that went up really fast. I got to put 10 more pounds on that, right? And what meals are going to help me put that 10 pounds on? Because I'm going to feel bad if I leave the gym without doing it, right?
Right.
I was never a big drinker, right? But I also I remember talking to you about 3 ounces of wine in prep, and I felt awful for a day and a half, right? So I had the pleasure of experiencing alcohol for what it is. But I also was able to, figure out that my hormones were wildly out of balance.
Yes.
Right.
That was a big one for you.
Huge one. Right. And so I was able to, mid prep, get all of that re-leveled, spent a lot of time really focused on getting everything where it should be. And so coming out of prep, I'm healthier body wise, and I'm healthier. My mental health is better, right? That consistency, that I've always looked for opportunities to prove to myself that I am capable of doing things. And that is not a healthy mindset, right? That That is something that I'm working on, right? I don't always need to prove myself in my worth. But going through prep and learning what makes me feel good, focusing on my mental health, my hormones fell into place. I'm walking out of prep knowing that I can do hard things. I don't have to continue pushing myself into these moments where I have to prove myself. I know how to feed myself. I know I can do hard things and still be a good wife and mother and teacher. Mm-hmm. I know that I know so much more about myself having done this, right? That regardless of all of the negatives, I would encourage everybody to do something like this. It doesn't have to be prep, and I don't think it has to be bodybuilding, right?
Yes.
You know, if we, Sarah, who's yeah. doing the Highland Games, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah. So it doesn't always have to look like the things that I've done, but I do think that if everybody took the time to be just deeply in tune with their body, really have the moment to take your body down into a deficit so that you can rebuild in a really healthy way. I think that anybody would be better for having done that, to be fair.
Of course, yeah. I think, and that's good to hear, because that's what we really harp on, is just educating people to have good self-awareness and be able to make decisions and keep their body healthy. So I love to hear that. Okay, Becky, I'm going to ask you like one more question, because we are getting close to running out of time. But how about like going into your show? Because it was your first ever show. What expectations did you set for yourself? Like, talk to us a little bit about your mentality going into that.
She said, if I don't win everything, I'm firing you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I did start out that way, so I know you're being funny, but that's not wrong, right?
She did say, I want to win.
I did. Right. Because that's one of the first conversations that we had, was to level set expectations. And I said, why would I do something if I don't plan to win? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, well, that's not really up to me now, is it? So about halfway through prep, I realized, and I kind of spent some more time and I understood what was happening better. And I said, well, I've never really built into this sport. We're just kind of working with what I've done. So we'll see what happens. I want to just get up there and set a baseline, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get up there, see if I even like this, because I don't want to commit to this for the foreseeable future. Because what if I hate it? Like, what if I get up there and I just cry?
Exactly.
You know, so, which what a spectacle that would have been. And so I went from, well, I'm going to win and I'm obviously going pro to we're going to see what happens. Right. This sport is unique in that to be good at it, there's years of preparation, right? It's mm-hmm. the seasons are so long, right? Mm-hmm. There's not off season in the summer. It's off season that can be 2 years, right? And yes. So having never gone through a build season where I'm focused specifically on figure, I didn't expect to win, you know, because what that would have been ridiculous, right? So what I expected was to get up there, to do the things that I'd practiced, see if I could do it, see if I liked it, experience the thing so that I'm better prepared for the next time when I might be more competitive.
Yes.
And one of the things that I did wish I knew going into it was all about the tanner and the makeup. I was not prepared. I was not mentally prepared for that transformation. And I think knowing that that is part of the process for next time, I will be better prepared to wear those eyelashes.
She was walking past people going, I don't normally look like this to strangers.
Poor man in the elevator. I was like, this isn't my face, which didn't make it better. Like, arguably, that made the whole situation.
I'm wearing someone else's face.
I know. Like, all right, Leatherface, calm down.
Yeah, and I think that's good, because I think, like, I've talked to a couple people and they're like, when do you know when to put someone on stage? Because you can always be better. So when do you know to set that show date? You can always put more muscle on. You can always be more conditioned. And I think it's different per person. But for a beginning athlete, like when you sign up with a coach, your goal is to get on stage. Like, that's in their brain. That's what they want. They want to look good on stage with a tan, with a suit, and they want to do that thing. They want to do that thing. So just bringing them through the process as long as we can to get them to the best, the like possible physique that we can. And we did it 11 months, which is a long time for a beginner. Like I said, I signed up. I was ready for 12 weeks. But we did that, and now we've laid that groundwork. Okay, this is our starting point, and it's only going to get better from here. So it's good to be – there's so much subjectivity in bodybuilding. There's so many variables. So you have to go in with that, like, flexible mindset, I think.
I don't know how many times you had to tell me, we're not in control of who shows up.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the judges are going to want.
Yeah.
Maybe – I don't know when it clicked, but when it did – it clicked the entire way up until the night before, because then I had to take myself off social media, because I will tell you, that magazine with the published names and Instagram existing at the same time was not a good combination.
Yeah, and there's ways to protect your mentality so that you're enjoying that show day, because that is, like, the night before is where people start getting nervous. They start looking around, the jitters, like, it just can propel some, like, negative emotions, so... guard yourself. Yeah,
have a plan for the night before. Like, do, like, have a nighttime routine. Like, do something. Do something to take care of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that now.
Yeah.
That's such a good tip.
Yeah. You want to relax. You want to, like, you know, maybe take some Benadryl, get a good night's sleep. You know, go to sleep early, because especially for, well, actually for your show, your hair and makeup was in the morning, because they split them with guys and girls. But normally, man, we've had some people get up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to have to go to their hair and makeup. So yeah, getting to bed early the night before and getting some good sleep can be very tough. And, you know, so definitely plan on figuring out how to do that.
Yes. So, Becky, do you have any last minute advice or last minute topics that you want to touch on before we sign off that you feel is worth sharing with the listeners?
Yeah. So I think I wrote some things down, because I've really spent some time thinking about this.
I love your preparation.
It's part of my problem. It's not a solo sport, I think. And we talked about that a lot, right? And so, yes, I was the only competitor, but I had a house full of people that had to buy in, right? Mm-hmm. And so before that year, that 6 months, all of that time it took me to send that email right to you and say, hey, what do you do? Right? Was time spent talking to my husband, Christopher, about what this would look like, right? Because I know I'm a pretty hangry person to begin with, right? When I get hungry, I get hungry. And so I also know that I'm sensitive, and I know that, you know, I feel things deeply, and sometimes sometimes that comes out in the way that I communicate, and that prep would only exacerbate those things.
Yes.
And so I would say that not a solo sport. If you have the support, I'm so fortunate to have the support. Christopher will support me in like anything I decide to do. I'm convinced. Right. And so I'm very, very fortunate to have that. But if you don't think that you do, look around and find your support. Right. Mm-hmm. Or, you got to have a plan, because it does get really, really hard. So finding your people, finding your support, is going to be really important. And I would argue having some idea of what that looks like in the beginning is going to be really important for when it gets to the end. Because the last thing you're going to want to do is set up a support network a month before your show, right?
Yeah.
So
SOS.
Right. And then, because that's when it looks really hard. And that's when, like, you might not get that support again. And so the other thing I said is, the sport's not really all or nothing until it is, right? I think that there is an idea that if you decide to sign up and get into this sport, well, now you're committed and this is what you do and this is, you're in it, baby. And it's not really like that. There was, I felt like when I started that I was going to feel very locked in and there wasn't really going to be any escape if I wanted it. But it is. There's so much more wiggle room, even in prep, especially in the beginning, than I think I was expecting.
Yeah.
The way that you guys led me through prep was really Becky led, right? You have all the resources. You figure out how this all fits for your life. let's support you instead of just here's your prescription, go follow this. Mm-hmm. And I think that that flexibility wasn't anything that I was really expecting. So I think that if you are considering getting into bodybuilding, you should. And then if you find out that it's not for you, it is what it is, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
It's not all or nothing until it is, right? And yeah. even if I decided to drop out the night before, what a disappointment. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's got you locked in. I think that that's important to remember. Hang on.
Before you go on to your next one, I just want to piggyback on that. If you flip it to the other way, yeah, if you flip it the other way and you say, like, instead of saying, I'm going to do a bodybuilding prep and I'm going to completely change my life. And if instead we look at it as I am working at building a much more healthy, sustainable lifestyle, and I'm using the sport of bodybuilding to help me do that because it's giving me that clear-cut end goal, you know? So like now it's instead of I have to completely change the way I live my life, now it's okay, I'm developing the lifestyle that I want to bring me to the physique that I want to have. And I'm using bodybuilding as a tool to that end. So now it just kind of like it changes the perspective a little bit, but yeah,
that's a much better way to say that. I wish I would have used those words instead of my words.
Okay. I'll edit it in and we'll just put my voiceover one.
Yeah. So that's exactly it though, right? Is that, I think prep doesn't have to be, this insurmountable task.
And
right?
it shouldn't be. Yeah.
Right. If I can do, I've been telling people if I can do it, then anybody can do it. Right. I do think that I am capable of hard things, but I think that everybody is capable of hard things if you really just decide that it's what you want to do.
Exactly.
The last thing though, I do want to say is that the bodybuilding community has been the kindest, most positive and welcoming community that I've literally ever been part of. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that. Probably because of my own preconceived notions coming into the sport, right? Seeing the extremes more often than, you know, what a normal everyday bodybuilder is doing or is. And so if you are considering getting into bodybuilding, it seems incredibly like this big daunting task, and it seems really intimidating, and it seems like maybe you might be this lone athlete just out there trying your best while everyone else is like running laps around you, and it's absolutely not like that at all. Every single person that I've interacted with on this team that has been part of my prep, right? Shout out Nikki McGuire for posing coach, right?
We need to name drop her. Yes.
So have all been the most positive and kind people, regardless of where they are in prep, right? Nikki was my posing coach 7 weeks out from her Tupelo Pro and was so nice, right?
She is a sweetheart, yeah.
So nice. And so I think that for those people that might be a little bit intimidated by bodybuilding, there's absolutely no reason to be because you join the ranks of some of the kindest people I've ever met.
Yeah. You find the good ones.
Yeah. Well, also you got to be a little crazy to do stuff like this. Like powerlifting is very similar. And when like you're a bodybuilder or a powerlifter and you find someone, it's kind of like a dog seeing another dog across the sidewalk. They get so excited about it. It's like, oh my God, it's another dog. It's the same thing in bodybuilding and powerlifting. We just like get so excited that other people understand what we're going through and also like why. Because even all of our whys are a little bit different, but they're similar enough to where we can all relate. So I think it's that camaraderie is very important. And yeah, there's plenty of self-obsessed people in any sport, right?
Yeah, there's always good and bad.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, like you said, by and large, like it's a very good community out there.
Yeah.
You join a bodybuilding team and somewhere in the background of your gym and you won't know who's doing it. We'll just start going, one of us. And you will find that person and you will be friends.
There's union and suffering. But yep. I think athletes, it's been really fun to see community.
Yeah.
And across sports too. Mm-hmm.
Because like just on Reckless Training, like you were saying, I don't know if it was before the call or at the beginning of the call, but basically we have athletes from all different walks. You know, we have bodybuilders, powerlifters, some Highland Games. We had a High Rocks athlete. So And they all support each other. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Like, all of our bikini athletes are super stoked about our power lifters. Like, it's great. So it's really cool.
Yeah. All right, Becky. Well, we appreciate your time so much in answering all of our questions. Thank you for sharing your experience with our listeners. I think that we'll hold here. We'll stop here. If you are listening to the podcast and you're interested in coaching, or you just have questions, you can feel free to reach out at us at recklesstraining.com. And we're also on Instagram, reckless_training. And our private, handles are, I'll put in the show notes as well. So you can just scroll down, click on there. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If it spoke to you and helped you get better perspective, we want to be able to share that with other people. And we do that by our listeners sharing that with others. So thank you, Becky, again for your time. And do you want to take us out?
Sure. As always, work hard, stay humble, and train reckless.